Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Food for Your Soul. We are your hosts, Elder and Evangelist White. Please go with us in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, O gracious Lord, we thank you for another opportunity to speak about your holy word. I ask God that you will touch everyone's ears who want to truly hear what the Lord is saying at this hour. We give you glory and honor that is due unto your holy name. It is in Jesus' sweet name that we pray. Amen and amen. Good morning, good people. Good morning, Elder White.
Good morning, Evangelist. How you doing?
I'm blessed, sir. How are you?
I'm fine now. I ain't seen you in a couple of weeks.
You haven't seen me, or?
I haven't seen you.
You seen me.
I seen you.
Yes, baby.
Okay.
We haven't been on in a couple of weeks.
Oh, that's what it is. I knew something was missing.
Amen. God has given us an amazing topic, as always, this morning. I think it's a right now word, Elder.
Amen.
What is your temperature for God?
Oh, wow.
And, you know, some people would probably, if they're not in the spirit, they'll go grab the thermometer and really try to check their temperature. But I ain't talking about in the natural. I'm talking about your spiritual, you know, the Holy Ghost. What is your temperature for God? We're going to be coming out of Revelation 3 and 15. And, Elder, after I read that scripture, 3 and 15, as well as 16, I want you to go ahead and elaborate a little bit more about the temperature as far as hot or cold or lukewarm with the Lord. Revelation 3rd chapter, starting with verse 15. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou were cold or hot. So then because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. And that was Jesus speaking, and that was Revelation 3:15 and 16. Elder, the topic God has given us, what is your temperature for God? Elaborate a little bit on that.
Oh, when I think about your temperature for God, I think about your passion. I think about your diligence to seek God.
Yes.
And for God to be first in everything that you do. In
yes.
other words, if God be God, let him be God.
Mm.
You know, there's a scripture that talks about how long will you be halted between two opinions.
That's good.
If God be God, then make him God.
That's
if
right.
Baal is your God, then let him be your God. It's a thing where we have to make up our mind to serve God no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
Where is your God when it comes down to certain situations that you find yourself in?
Mm.
Where is God, you know, when a phone call comes that you don't like or a disappointment comes on the job?
Mm.
Where is your temperature? Where is your God? And we know that it is impossible to please God.
That's right.
Without faith. Where is your faith? You know, we who come to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seeks him. So today, and especially when we look at the temperature of the church, I believe that you can walk into any place and you can see demonstrations of passion and temperature and faith towards God in action.
And you know, Elder, I like everything you just said, and the diligent part. You know, I noticed that we have a lot of hot Wednesdays and Sundays for God, but the rest of the day, the rest of the week, we act any kind of way. We don't take that same temperature that we're supposed to have on Sunday and take it to work on Monday. You know, when I think of temperature and I think of the hot and cold and Jesus saying, I'd rather you be one or the other, but since you're lukewarm, you know, when you're hot, you know, he said, shut up in my bones. You know, when the Holy Ghost is hot on you and you on fire for God, there's a moving that, woo, I got to, yes, Lord, and there's a praying and there's an urgency and there's a, I got to get on my knees, I got to get in my word. But when you call, you know, things come, yeah, you know, you're very nonchalant about it. It doesn't really affect, there's not a really urgency. I noticed that a lot of people get hot for God when situations come, you know, crisis come in their life. They need God to get them out. But any other time, they're lukewarm.
Right. Well, it's also a consciousness toward God.
Mm.
You know, do I need God only when a tough situation comes?
Mm.
You know, do you wake up in the morning acknowledging and grateful to God because you acknowledge how much you need him?
That's right.
Do you acknowledge, you know what I mean, what he is doing? You acknowledge when you look into the world today, you can see the need for God, and you can be grateful to God that you have him, regardless to the world that doesn't or may not acknowledge the things that they need to acknowledge about God.
Yes.
Are you grateful, and are you willing to take a stand and show your life of faithfulness to the fact? In other words, is there a difference? I mean, can you know, when I look at it, typically, can I see the difference? When I look at the world and I look at everybody
Come on,
else,
Elder.
I mean, can I see a difference?
Come on.
You know, because sometimes a temperature of something being hot is something that shows or stands out.
That's right.
From everything else. Do you stand out?
Yes, I do.
From everybody else. When you walk into a room, do you stand out?
Yes.
You see what I'm saying? When you hot, people know you hot. You know what I'm saying? Uh-huh. When you hot, you walk into a room, everybody know you hot stuff.
That's right.
Am I right about it?
Amen.
I'm not, you know, if your mind can go where I want to go.
Not
but
in
when
the
you
carnal,
but
yes.
when you hot for Jesus, people know that hot
yes.
stuff just walked into the room.
That's right.
Oh, I wish I had about two or three people who
you have one.
Who know what I'm talking
Amen.
About, who knows that you're different. Sometimes you just stand out, and sometimes you feel like you're being picked on.
Ooh,
but sometimes you're being picked on because you stand out from
That's
everybody
right.
else.
And you know what, Elder? You had said something a few weeks back. Maybe it was last week, actually. You had said that, you know, the danger is that people can still operate and move in lukewarm water.
Oh, yeah.
So oftentimes people, you know, they settle for that lukewarm because, you know, and, you know, I wanted to, you know, I'm jumping, but when I was looking at Revelations 3:15 and 16, not only was it Jesus speaking, but he was speaking and addressing the church. And when Jesus was speaking to the church, he was saying it's neither hot or cold, it's lukewarm. In other words, it's virtually worthless. See, there's nothing like getting together with a bunch of bodies and everybody lukewarm, everybody cold, ain't nobody hot. You know, that's where the church starts losing its power because we don't really, we have the form and fashion of godliness, but we deny the power. So the fire that needs to come, we're waiting for someone else to light the fire when we all should be on fire when we're coming into the house of God. Amen?
Amen.
And it says, Christ says he will spew them out of his mouth, which means he will reject them from his company. Yes, God will reject you from your company.
Amen.
You know, I don't know about you, Elder, but you are the type of man, and I'm just going in the natural. When I make your food, let's say the food I finished and I was waiting on one more thing. And so let's say one of the dishes was not as temperature that you like. You like your food hot. And if I serve you your food cold, your face looks crazy. And even if I serve it to you a little lukewarm, you're like, babe, I need a little bit hotter. So if we're like that with our food, what do we think Jesus is like, you know, when it comes to our life and our fellowship and our worship with him?
It's nauseating to Jesus.
You better say that.
You know, when you drink, if you ever drunk lukewarm water, it almost brings you to a vomit.
Yes.
It brings you to,
yes.
You know, it's very nauseating,
mm-hmm.
and you just want to spew that out.
Mm.
And when you talk about, this is the seventh church
yeah.
that, did you read the scripture?
Yes, I did.
Oh,
baby.
You did, I'm sorry.
It's okay.
But, you know, I'm just so excited.
You can reread it because, really, I started at Revelation 3:15 and 16, but if you want to read 14 and speak about the church, go ahead.
Yeah, but you know these are the Laodiceans, and this was the worst. This church was by Colossians,
yes.
And the book of Colossians, this was one of the churches that the Apostle Paul had started.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is that, and it was a big walled city. I believe that it was a pretty great city, and the people there probably was rich, probably was very gifted,
yeah, wow.
And they were probably very well off.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, almost like today, you know, in today's world, you see a lot of people that are dependent on their own wisdom instead of the word of God.
Yeah.
And one thing about religion and one thing about Christianity, if it's the real thing, then make it the real thing.
Come on,
if it's not the real thing, then don't.
Come on.
You know, so sometimes we hide behind a cloak of righteousness, but really we're high-minded and really, you know, we really compromise the true values of what the Word of God is supposed to be, and that hides the knowledge of God from a sick and dying world, and it sickens God.
Yes.
It's nauseating to him.
Yes, it is.
And he's addressing this
church?
Particular church,
yes.
And I believe that it has relevance to a lot of the churches today.
Amen.
Who are not actually taking a stand for what's right and what they know is right.
Mm.
See, and that's what the kicker is, you know, that we know to do right. And for whatever the reason is, we choose not to.
See, Elder, that right there, you know, you should know me better than anybody. And that area right there is one that's my biggest problem. You know, here Jesus was not talking about the description of lukewarm. He's not referring to the backsliding condition, but rather to their lack of genuine faith. That's you know, so I have a problem when we know to do better, excuse me, and we still choose to not. It's a choice after that. See, before, we didn't know no better. But when you can bring the word and you can see and you still choose to be in your own, then you have become lukewarm. And I am my father's daughter. So just like Jesus is going to spew and don't want you in his company, neither do I. I want to, and I know we all have our times and moments. It's not a thing where any of us have arrived and perfecting, but there should be something, babe, and forgive me for saying something. The Holy Ghost that is supposed to be in us, it ignites a fire that we should never let out. You know, it's just like a relationship. If you and I, as husband and wife, don't keep that spark, it will eventually go out. There is a fire that means that I got to continue to seek you. I got to continue to see what you like and continue to come after you and want you and please you. It's the same thing in having a relationship with Jesus, you know, and that kind of goes into my message for tomorrow, but it's the same thing.
It, you know, it's
He pursued us first.
You know, John the Baptist said, you know, he said that he who comes after me, whose shoe latches I'm not even worthy to lace,
Jesus.
He said he's going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost,
yes, Lord.
And with fire.
One more time, Elder.
The Holy Ghost. He said he's going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
And he's going to baptize you with fire.
Yes.
And when you go to the book of John and you look in there, and when Jesus is dealing with the disciples and he's telling them that I'm going to send you another comforter. And the world is not going to be able to receive him. And he called this comforter the Spirit of Truth. All right?
Jesus.
So you got the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
In this, which is the spirit of truth that
yes.
comes to lead and guide us in all manner of truth.
Yes.
And you have the Holy Ghost and fire.
Mm.
You see? So the truth, when you have a mind to live for the truth,
yes.
there is a seeking out.
Mm.
Because the truth is undisputed.
That's right.
You can't dispute the truth.
That's right.
You see what I'm saying? If God is real in your life, There's no undisputing that in your life,
that's
in your
right.
walk. There's
that's
not
right.
going to be any, you know, when you're dedicated to him, you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You, there's something in your walk. There's something in your talk. There's something that you are determined to do no matter what because you have tried your right. See, there's a way that seemeth right
yes.
to a man but the end thereof are the ways of death. Mm. But my mind is made up to live according to truth.
Yes.
And living according to truth, and I was talking to you about this. See, truth don't have feelings.
That's right.
See,
the truth
don't have feelings.
Mm.
And it takes fire, really, to accept truth.
Yes.
Because I can tell you some truth about yourself, but it will burn you up. You see what I'm saying? And a lot of times, we got to get to a place where we can receive truth.
That's right.
And sometimes the truth will hurt.
That's
but
right.
I heard a preacher one time say, it'll set you free, but it'll also make your jaw smack it mad.
That's right.
Because it's truth, and it's,
yes.
and it's dealing with that flesh.
Yes.
And the problem is that we don't want to deal with our flesh.
That's right.
We don't want to deal with our emotional state.
Mm.
But see, but the truth doesn't have any feelings.
That's right.
The truth is just what it is. It
That's
is
right.
just the truth. It is the word of God.
And you know, Elder, the fact that many will try to use the word and make it only apply to how they want to be. See, when it's something about when the Holy Ghost, you know, he dwells in me, there is I can't even explain it in the natural, but I didn't just have an experience. I had an encounter with God.
You had a conversion.
Yes.
You see.
And Elder, and you know, that caused me to everything. I know that everything that comes out my mouth, I am mindful that one day I have to give an account for. I am mindful that my walk, somebody may be looking at me. I'm mindful that every time I'm speaking and I think nobody else is around, Jesus is listening. There is a desire that I have placed in my heart to want to do nothing but please him. Do I always do 100? No. But you better believe I get back up and try to do it the right way. And so when you have, when God has did a conversion and what you were taught, what you have taught me, there was a frustration that I was getting because people that are in leadership was not doing as those as leaders should do according to the word of God. And you had to let me know that until God does a true conversion, they will continue on doing what they think and feel. And like you said, the truth has no feelings. So see, when you do what you think and feel, you better believe that it's usually not right. But when you do what the truth tells you to do and what it's speaking to do, you know, my thing is there evidence in your walk?
Well, and just to piggyback on what you said, you know, Jesus said that the hour cometh, the day and the hour cometh when the true worshiper.
Yes.
Now he said, true worshiper will worship me in spirit and in truth. And we talked about spirit, we talked about truth, we talked about the Holy Ghost, we talked about fire, and we talked about the Holy Ghost, which is the Comforter, which is the Spirit of truth. You have people who worship and their own. They're worshiping the best way they know how.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? And then you have true worshipers,
yeah,
who worship in spirit and who worship in truth.
Yeah.
They're two different things, I come to find out.
Yes.
You see, because you worship from a place of understanding,
yes,
and for consciousness,
yes,
to God.
Yes.
You see what I'm saying? God is a spirit.
Mm-mm-mm.
You see what I'm saying? So I can't worship him. So I'm not worshiping him out of my own desire to just say that, you know, today is Sunday and I want to worship. I'm worshiping him
yes,
because he truly saved me.
Yes.
And I have been born again.
Yes.
So I have come from out of a state where I know that if it was not for this conversion, I would not be in. So I know the difference in my worship. I you know, in my walk. And your worship is not just what you do on Sunday. Your worship is your life.
Right.
Your worship is your response to what God is doing,
yes,
every single day on the inside of you.
Yes.
I can't help it.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying? I can't help it.
Jesus.
It's a response to what he has done on the inside.
And you know, Elder,
let me say this one thing. That's why he said, let everything that has breath
praise
the Lord.
Mm.
Well, I have breath Monday too.
Mm.
Don't you have breath on Tuesday? Don't you have breath on Wednesday and Thursday? Don't you have
Good.
Breath 24 hours
Good.
A day?
Good.
Good. You see what I'm saying? Good. So therefore, this is something that is in the spirit of my mind.
Amen. And, you know, the thing that I was going to say was, at any part of my conversation with people, if Jesus don't come up, something is wrong. Whether it was just he's good, I love him, are you saved, do you know him, it's something that we, you know, I've learned that people are so busy doing the things of God, they are not busy for God. See, we're busy doing the things of God, well, and we going, but we are not busy doing the things for God. We don't really have a relationship where we are seeking him, where we are praying, where we are fasting, where we are consecrating. You know, people who really know me, not know of me, but know me, knows that ever since I started ministry, I will take 40 days anytime to just consecrate and get back with God. If you don't know me, you'll take it personal and think that I'm doing something funny. But I've been doing it since 2003. And the reason I do it is because sometimes I'm going off of just what I know. And sometimes God may have wanted to change some things. So if you don't have time where you are setting time just with him, and in those 40 days, it may not be until the 39th day that Jesus really starts speaking and telling you a totally different direction. But I have made it up in my mind to dedicate time the same way I do for the man on the job, the same way that I do for you as my husband, the same way that we do it for our children and our parents and ministry. We have to give that time to God. And there has to be a desire and an urgency of, I need more, and I need more fire. And I need to, you know, that song by William McDowell, I love it, where he says, I'm not satisfied where I am. He said, I've had this experience and that experience, but I'm not satisfied. I want more.
Amen.
And I don't think we're in that place where we want more, Elder.
Well, it's an individual. It comes back down to, you know, consciousness. It comes back down to understanding that, you know, that until God does certain things is just not going to be what it should be on a consistent basis.
Until we surrender completely, too.
Right, but yeah, because when you live according to that kind of truth,
mm-hmm.
when you are denying, I mean, think about it. I am denying my thoughts. I am denying my flesh.
Feeling.
I mean, everything. I realize that I am nothing without God.
Lord.
I don't trust myself.
Jesus.
I don't trust my thoughts.
Jesus.
I don't want to rely on anything. I don't want to rely on my wisdom. Mm. You know what I mean? I know I got degrees. I don't want to rely on my degree, my education.
Yes.
I know my education only brings me to a point of really of seeing your word maybe a little bit more clear, but I'm still back at your word.
Yes.
I'm still back at the beginning where it is you that said, let it be, and it was. You know, God said, let it be light, and it was. You know, and I'm back there. Anywhere you put it, God, there's nothing, you know what I'm saying, that's getting past you. There's nothing going on in the world that you did not already spoke about. For Jesus said that he said, listen, I'm telling you these things now before they happen.
That's right.
So that when they do happen, you know that I said it.
That's right.
So ain't nothing that's going on in the world. You see what I'm saying? A surprise to God.
That's right.
And when you are in God, it ain't a surprise to you. But we are taken out of context of what's going on because we think that, you know what I'm saying, that God is not in control because of how crazy the world is acting. Not so.
Amen. Elder, let me ask you a question. For some of the listeners, give me just a few examples on each side, excuse me, that can show you're hot, cold, or lukewarm. Give me an example of a hot Christian.
A hot Christian is an uncompromising Christian.
Mm.
A hot Christian is a Christian that is ready to give an answer for the hope that is in them.
Mm.
A hot Christian is anybody who can defend their position when asked about anything that they do. They are able to apply scripture. They are able to apply the word of God to anything that they do.
Amen. Give me an example of a lukewarm Christian?
A lukewarm Christian is a dangerous Christian because this is a Christian that can kind of be in your mess and that can put on a facade as though they are holy on the outside, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. And if you are not, and if you don't have a strong sense of discernment, these are folks that can come around. You see, I was talking to one of my friends, a brother of mine. He said, you know, A.W., and he was telling me, he said, you know what, I can deal with people, you know what I mean? And, you know, I'd rather deal with people because when they're devils, I can see them.
Yeah.
But when it's folks that is in the body of Christ that is in your mess all the time and you are expecting a certain type of thing and you get hit up by them, you see what I'm saying? It's a different type of hurt and that comes with that. And it's the same thing, you know what I mean? We just expect sometimes a little more from the people, but the Bible also tells us to know those who you labor among.
And you know
who labor among you.
That's good. Before you do the cold, I want to, what A-Dub was saying, Psalms 55, it says, "Give ear to my prayer, O God, and hide not thyself from my supplication. Attend unto me and hear me. I mourn in my complaint and make a noise because of the voice of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked. For they cast iniquity upon me, and in wrath they hate me. My heart is sore pain within me, and the terrors of death are fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling are coming upon me, and horror has overwhelmed me. And I said, Oh, that I have wings like a dove, for then I would fly away and be at rest. Lo, then would I wander far off and remained in the wilderness. I would hasten my escape from the windy storm and tempest. Destroy, O Lord, and divide their tongues, for I have seen violence and strife in the city day and night. They go about it upon the walls thereof, mischief. All sorrows are in the midst of it. For it was not an enemy that reapproached me, then I could have borne it. Neither was it he that hated me that did magnify himself against me, then I would have hid myself from him. But it was thou, a man, my equal, my guide and my acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together and walked into the house of God in company." So everything we go through, there is the word of God to apply it. And there is actually a prayer, you know, that cries out for those that, you know, just like you said, what A-Dub was saying. And so when you said that, the Holy Ghost immediately had me go to that scripture. Now I want you to give me an example, Elder White, of a cold Christian.
I don't know if you would call him a cold Christian.
Hot or cold. It's
you
hot,
know, or if you would, or if you would, you would say a person that just has an agenda that is not, that does not line up with the values of God. They're cold. They actually clearly can be identified. I mean, you know, they're not lukewarm, nor are they hot. They clearly, you know what I'm saying?
Give me an example. I know the people are wanting that. They, you know, because some people don't have the discerning gift as of yet. And so I wanted to give examples so that you can be aware as well as the circle.
If I was to look at a, you know, if I was to say someone that was a cold Christian, I would say someone, like I said, that has a clear agenda that goes contrary to the word of God. It is easily defined. They have no fear. They have no shame of what they do, and they stand on what it is that they say that goes totally contrary to the word of God. No matter if you bring the word to them, no matter whether you tell them or not, they are strictly off base. Now, if I was looking at that from the perspective of the word of God falling on stony type of ground or ground in which it is not going to be able to bring up something, it is an unbeliever. You see what I'm saying? That sometimes, you know, you rather just deal with an unbeliever, you know what I'm saying, than deal with a believer. At least an unbeliever, he's cold. I know that he is or
know
she is someone that just, you know, says that they don't believe in God. I don't believe in God. I don't believe in his ways. That is an individual that's cold. So I'm also kind of, you know, when we start talking about cold Christians, I'm like wondering, is there even such a thing?
Well, you know, according to the word, when God says about hot or cold or lukewarm, he's referring to the church.
He is.
And so there is a such thing.
But you have so-called churches that are set up that don't follow God at all.
That's true.
You see what I'm saying? You do have churches like that. Even just because they call themselves a church don't mean that they are.
Amen. Elder, I want to thank you for those examples. It's important. I think sometimes, you know, when you and I, you know, two preachers, we can get deep in depth in the word, but then I have to remind myself sometimes of the audience. And just like, you know, I know when I was a teacher, I would give examples for the children to be able to identify, and that's what the people need sometimes as well. Well, that is our time.
Oh, wow.
Amen. It was a really good topic, and you could have went and spoke even more about what is your temperature for God. I pray, we pray that something that was said on today, a scripture that was read, has given you not only revelation, but has given you what you need to ignite that fire back in you to make it where God is always Lord and God over your life. I am your host, Evangelist White.
And I'm Elder White. Stay hot for Jesus.
Amen. And we are signing out. God bless.
God bless you.